Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this September the 6th on the West Coast, now September 7th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. I got to spend 2 hours with you folks today on Drew Malone Rains the Third's show, A Marine's Disquisition, and we had a very interesting disquisition on this whole structure of consumerism that the is the roadmap to gaining riches for the they like to be called elite, and us regular sheep or sheeple or cattle, as they like to call us affectionately. I presented a number of definitions of the word consumer by going through the definitions of the word consume, because the word consumer is one who consumes. And so if we look at the word consume, I'm going to read off just a list of terms that are in my thesaurus. And as we go through the list, you're going to see that it becomes more sinister or more psychological, certainly lends itself to black ops around the planet. And of course, we have to throw in war and bank fraud and pharmaceutical fraud and petroleum industry fraud, Ponzi schemes, all of that sort of stuff. But the word consumer applies to the regular individual that works for a living. This being Labor Day, I think it's at least worth mentioning at the top of the hour. Some definitions of the word consume, which is a verb: eat, devour, ingest, swallow, gobble up, wolf down, guzzle, feast on, snack on, drink, gulp down, imbibe, tuck into, put away, polish off, dispose of, pick out on, down, swill, scarf, both down and up. In terms of natural resources, this is what belongs to the planet and should belong to all the people of the planet. Use, as in use up, utilize, expend, deplete, exhaust, waste, squander, drain, dissipate, fritter away. Keep in mind, this is in control of the elite. And then we have the destructive aspect of the word consume, as in destroy, demolish, lay waste, wipe out, annihilate, devastate, gut, ruin, wreck. And then we have the emotional or the psychological aspect of the word consume, as in eat up, devour, obsess, grip, overwhelm, absorb, and preoccupy. And these are just a few of the meanings of the word. And we are those that do all these things. I don't think I've ever encountered a word in the English language that has as many definitions as the word consume does in single words, or maybe two or three word phrases. And yet, when we look at the problems of the world and the fact that billions, maybe even trillions of dollars are spent on getting us to consume, which means to buy, and that word wasn't in there, to buy, to give up our wealth to those that would take it from us willingly, and devise all kinds of means of doing it, even without our knowledge. Now, those that are in the business of creating consumers and defrauding and deceiving consumers with the various methodologies of creating governments and then controlling the people through the governments and the governments and their their handlers or their puppet masters, if you want to call that, pull the strings to get them to make laws and decisions that affect people's ability to consume or to acquire wealth that will allow them to consume. And they do this rather deviously. They commit crimes against humanity, crimes against mankind, that they call laws. And this is all nothing but organized crime. And to protect their deeds, they have to attack those that reveal the truth. On Drew Rain's show today, we had a two-hour conversation about the truth and about how we can escape from this whole thing. And the first step is to decide or choose to know the truth, and then to set about finding, discovering the truth. It's a simple matter. We don't ask you to believe what you hear on the show. We never have. I don't even like the word believe or belief. Or believing, or believed, because it's all based on an assumption. I prefer knowledge, I prefer knowing, and that's where our true power is, in knowing. That taken into account, as you listen to tonight's show, keep reminding yourself of the word know. Knowing, Andrew Carnegie once said, and had this printed on the pencils of the U.S. Steel Corporation, knowing is not enough. And that is true, because you have to act on knowledge. You have to put it to good use. That which destroys is evil, and that which creates is good, as long as it's not creating that which destroys. That's the difference. Tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right. He is a fellow researcher, fellow journalist. He's also a naturopath, PhD, in fact. And he's our regular Monday night guest. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect Network, and the show is called The Story Behind the Story. Tonight's guest, Dr. A. Truat. True, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. I apologize for having to be on the road traveling. It's still late at night, and I've got probably about two more hours of driving time, so hopefully it won't be too much of a distraction driving in the car. But, I've been consuming a lot of gasoline today. I started out at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went down to the Micro Effects station. Joe McNeil and his wife Kelly sponsored a really nice barbecue and for the whole town's folks. And good turnout there at the schoolhouse. We had, I'd say probably 100 people, 150 people there, and they came to listen to me and the other talk show hosts give a spiel. It was kind of fun. So I got done about 2:30, and from there, and that's still about 15, 14 hours away from my home, so I'm on the road still.
Well, we appreciate you taking out the time, and I know how when you're traveling through the mountains, the radio is not that great anyway, so glad you could be with us tonight.
Yeah, when you talk about consume, Don, you just break the word down, and you see it's cons, you and me.
Yes, I was going to mention that, but I left that for you. Yes, it does. And of course, we've talked about words on other shows, and certainly that word con comes up in a lot of words and a lot of phrases, such as conspiracy or constitution or conscript or contract. It's in many, many words that we use and we take for granted. And normally the word con means against, or sometimes it means with, but I think the implied meaning is the Hegelian dialectic, against.
So, right. And also, of course, confused people.
Yes. And consent.
Yeah, there's... yeah. Convict.
Yes.
Well, we need to have some convictions come to place here. I tell you, it's been quite a weekend, Don, as you know. We the attacks just keep coming, and it's laughable. They're so harebrained, but people seem to believe harebrained schemes anymore for some reason.
Well, they're conditioned to do that because of TV, because of movies, and certainly when you have a fabricated historical account of the world, which is the furthest thing from reality, and people are raised on all of these belief systems, it's quite a battle to get them to wake up. But then again, I think the key to all of this is choice. People have the choice to wake up. If they're distressed by what's going on, that's a start. That's certainly enough to create an impetus for people to get off of their rear end and start figuring out what they're going to do. You know, we adulate, or we're encouraged to idolize entertainers, celebrities, actors, sports figures, just as an example. And in the process of let's say buying into this idolatry, we fail to recognize that when you have no food on your table, and if you're able to make a phone call or send an email or even go visit one of these celebrities and tell them that you're hungry and that you have to feed your family, are they around? Are they there to help you? They're always portrayed in light of helping the community, yet the community goes on suffering while these celebrities make millions and millions of dollars throughout their career. Why? Because they are a diversion. They're paid to keep us distracted, to keep us from truly seeing what's going on. And that's not to take away from those that are masters at their craft, but why is it that no one seems to take interest in a topic unless there's a celebrity that comes forth to deliver a particular message? Why do you think that's so?
Again, it's the conditioning. It really is. There's credibility factors. If it's on Larry King, it's got to be right. If Larry King's got an opinion, for instance, that's the way to go. All of the anchors of the network news, all of that, it just creates an aura of, you know, from Walter Cronkite on down, it's the most trusted man in America icon.
Yes, and there's really nothing special about these people other than their face appears on a piece of glass in your living room, or whatever room you watch television in. And they spin stories, they weave stories, and it doesn't matter if they're true or not. People tend to accept them because the commercials are the official representation of a product. They use celebrities to sell products, cars, insurance, drugs, vacations, anything you can imagine. They have to have celebrities deliver the message. And then when there's an issue like 9/11, they bring a Charlie Sheen forth, and everybody says, whoa, Charlie Sheen is talking about 9/11. But where did that go? Where did his message go? You see, people jump at that right away. They leap towards those situations without recognizing that all of this is done to divert their attention, or somehow to make people think somebody's really taking this seriously. And they usually pick
right.
Somebody whose life is very dysfunctional, too. You know, these are the role models that they give to our children. And these are the very the same people that adults are worshiping at the same time. Your comment?
Well, yeah, I'm just thinking of Britney Spears and that mess, and Lindsay Lohan and that mess, and it just, you know, who are these people? I mean, what makes them special? It's, you know, I see this, the Disney Channel doing a lot of this with our youth, the Hannah Montana phenomenon. Come on, I mean, that's a little bit over the top, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I'm not a Hannah Montana fan, but I know that you have very young girls idolizing someone who's basically prompting them to be somebody that they're not. And so there's a lot of dark psychology going on behind that. Don Newsom tells me his kids love Hannah Montana.
Oh yeah, most teeny boppers do. It's just like, you know, when she came and did a concert here in Utah, Salt Lake, it was absolutely nuts. Kids were camping out for tickets. I mean, that's for a Disney sponsored icon. That's all it's meant. She's not overly talented, in my opinion. You know, what makes the hype? You know, Dr. Mike Castle sent out that nice, that interesting piece to me, and I'm sure you were on the list too, about all of the Disney cartoon movies, and so many of them, the vast majority of all of these Disney movies, have parents as dysfunctional, as having parents being the enemy and the kids being empowered. I thought it was a very interesting point.
Well, yeah, isn't it the same thing with all the TV sitcoms that they have? You know, the parents work all day and they don't know a thing. When they come home, the kids are tearing the house apart and in all kinds of really outlandish relationships, the promotion of sex. And this is applauded. They, you know, they hoot and holler in the studio audience to see the degradation that they're being shown.
You know, it kind of all started with Norman Lear and All in the Family. If you think about it, Archie Bunker was the prototype. They wanted him to be a prototypical conservative American that was a bonehead. You know, he couldn't really pronounce the words right. He was over the top of, you know, in his bigotry. And then you have the liberal Michael Stivic, you know, making all the sense and being the one that's rational. You know, it just made people that are conservative and standing for conservative values look like idiots, basically. And that was stereotyping that was done there in the 70s.
Well, they did that with many of the other shows too. Sanford and Son was very demeaning, I think, to the average black person, as was The Good Times, and I don't even remember all the names of those shows. The characters were funny, the writing was good, but you had to look beneath the surface to see what was really going on, because it was social conditioning. It was a setup to create a future race war.
And that's.
Go ahead.
That's Norman Lear and that whole Kazarian structuring of Hollywood and the television industry. Yeah, very important point as to who controls the programming. The vast majority of the network studios, and of course the movie industry is really all run by these writers and producers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting point too. We could draw an analogy between mainstream media and how a computer operates, because the computer without a program, without the software that dictates what the program will do is worthless. And so now anyone can say, well, that's crazy to say that. Of course you have to have a program, but the idea is that the computer can only perform within the boundaries of the script written in the program. And so it causes one to respond or to act in a certain way. And if you've ever tried to use a computer for art or for music, there are certain intuitive aspects to creativity that the computer can't cope with because it's not human. It doesn't have a spirit. It doesn't have a soul. It doesn't have feeling. So to cope with that aspect, what they do is they engineer or they synthesize music, they synthesize art, and they synthesize sound to get us to accept technology as a reality, as if it were human in origin, and that we're supposed to like this. Have you listened to a pop song lately that somebody is not singing through a vocoder or some kind of device that alters the voice and makes it sound robotic? Very few songs today are done, recorded purely as a musical performance. Everything is interfaced with technology now. And there's a reason right. for that. Your comment.
Oh, I want to hear the reason.
I agree. Yeah, I'll tell you the reason. I mean, it's to dehumanize mankind and make mankind be subservient like a robot. Now, on the other hand, they're trying to humanize robotics to make the computers in the robots be more intelligent than the very people they're mimicking, so that they can create super warriors, so they can create a totally artificial society and do away with mankind. Totally. Now, who would that be that would have that in mind?
Well, it's the evil, awful conspiracy we've been talking about for months and months. Yeah, that's again. It goes back to the bloodline tribes of the Transylvanian elite. I mean, I talked about this today in my speech. There's the Microeffect group. You know, you just have to look at the history, the oral and written history of Transylvania and Vlad the Third, Vlad Tepes, the Dracul, the Count of the Dragon. Read all of the historical anecdotes and records. This guy absolutely had a goal to conquer, you know, the planet, beginning with his own ethnic cleansing. Tens of thousands of his own countrymen were systematically slaughtered by him because they were deemed to be unfit. But he wanted that model to, of course, go out into the world. That's the bloodlines we're talking about. It's not hate speech. It's not being anti-Semitic in the least to point out where these tribes have gone throughout history.
Yes, one gets the feeling. I mean, when you know as much as we do about what's going on behind the scenes, one gets the feeling that this group, if you want to, I'm being kind and using the word group, this group of parasites really is what they are. They're the non-producers of the world. That consider themselves above producing anything other than chaos and mayhem and destruction and war and death. When you look at their background, obviously to have a species on any planet that is intent on destroying everything else that's alive, you have to ask yourself a fundamental question. Where do these beings come from? Really, I'm serious. From what realm would they come from?
Yeah, that's the question mark. If you trace their origins back originally, you find them really coming from the land between the Tigris and Euphrates River, the land known as Babylon, but known as Iraq today. And if you go down to the, I've read some archaeological reports about that. Some people claim that's the cradle of civilization of ancient Sumer and all these, original tribes. But there was no evolution there, Don. This technology just appeared full bloom and actually has devolved. In reality, the technologies that were used, 8,000 years ago were much more advanced than many things we have today.
Well, they were used for a different purpose at that time as well. And as,
right.
Yeah, I see the earth allowing, if these beings are that wise, and that powerful that they can control the earth, their only reason for allowing the earth's population to grow to nearly 7 billion people now, today, is that they had more consumers, they had more slaves to work on their behalf. So things could get done faster. It portends that there's something that's going to happen on a galactic level. Maybe even on a universal level. There's some change that they know is coming. And so they're trying to prepare, let's say, a last defense and to be in control of everything because they're losing control. And if they're losing control, they're not as righteous as they would have us believe. They're not as powerful as they would have us believe. And you hit the nail on the head when you said the technology has degraded, because that was always their intent, to degrade this place, to parasitize it to the extent that it becomes worthless or inhabitable. How could anyone contemplate starting World War III, starting a planet-wide nuclear war? Okay. They're absolutely insane to do that because they'll destroy themselves. Or maybe their plan is to, go ahead.
And this came up in a question from the audience tonight, as in my speech, Don.
Really?
We talked about really who was responsible for September 11th. I showed the rationale for looking at motive. Of course, we talked about Dov Zakheim and the fact that on September 10th, 2001, the day before the attacks, we have Donald Rumsfeld announcing that $2.3 trillion is missing from the Pentagon. Now, the ongoing investigation into the spy ring, the Israeli spy ring, and tracing it back to the people involved was centered in the World Trade Center Building 7, and in the wing of the Pentagon that was hit with the cruise missile. There was nothing to do with any airliner going into the Pentagon. That's been totally proven to be a falsehood. And so we had to look at motivation. And so you see the ties to Israel. You see the question that was asked from the audience, well, why would Israel want to cut off their main blood, their main supply of support? Well, simple. It's utilizing our assets, our military, and all of our, our tax dollars, Don, to move into the area that they really want to control, and that's the land of their home, their birth, their true birth, which is the land between the Tigris and Euphrates River, ancient Babylon. Don't forget the writings of the rabbis. The so-called Talmud is the Babylonian Talmud. That's the name of it. The Babylonian Talmud. Why, why the name Babylonian Talmud if it didn't originate from Babylon?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you bring up a point, too, or maybe that questioner brought up a point. Why is it that we have to save Israel, and from what? We need to be saved from Israel.
Do you remember Condoleezza Rice, Don, when she was justifying the need to invade Iraq? She said on a number of different talk shows that she doesn't want to see another terrorist attack because it'll probably be in the form of a mushroom cloud. That was a justification implying that Iraq was getting ready to develop the nuclear bomb. Here's what I think is really going on yet today. Israel has a huge stockpile of ultra-modern nuclear weapons. The last that I had heard, they had over 200 multiple MIRVed warhead nuclear, thermonuclear devices. How many does Iraq have? Zero. How many does Iran have? Zero. How many does Syria have? Suppose, ladies and gentlemen, that Condoleezza Rice and the Bush administration and the current Obama administration are being dictated to by the Israeli government that they can have a so-called nuclear attack on America, and suppose they're blackmailing the administrations. Think about it. If you've got that many warheads and who knows how many suitcase bombs that they got from Russia when the Soviet Union collapsed, maybe they just need to capitulate to Israel's demands because they could very well nuke one of our cities. I'm thinking that's a very real possibility, Don.
Well, we've had a number of cases of missing nuclear weapons in the past couple of years, and that's what's come out from, let's say, allegedly honest and patriotic soldiers working at Barksdale Air Force Base and Minot Air Force Base. You remember the incident where a plane was supposed to take these weapons to Texas to be dismantled, and instead the plane arrived at Barksdale with only 5 of 6 of these nuclear weapons. And the plane was armed. These bombs were set to go off on top of it. There was a rumor that one of them made its way via the plane. The plane first made a stop in Nevada. One wonders where that was. Was that Area 51, S4, or one of the secret bases there?
My point is just that, Don. Suppose, you got such a huge spy network of Israeli Mossad. You've got the APAC, American Israeli Political Action Committee, is the single largest lobby group on American soil. 65,000 people strong in APAC. 65,000. So you have this Mossad influence permeating through all of the society. It's very simple that if you got good men and women in the military, in the armed forces, in the Joint Chiefs of Staff, if you don't jump through this hoop, you don't do this, as we say, there goes L.A. or there goes Houston. You see what I'm saying? And they understand that it's a real threat. So we shouldn't fear these Arabian countries. We shouldn't fear them. We should fear the ones that already have it. And Israel has gone from from the Mossad or the mindset of we will not, we won't be destroyed again like Masada, the Masada complex. They've gone down to a Samson complex, Don, and that's well documented in a number of think tank writings. The Samson complex is, you know, you better do what we tell you to, or we'll bring the whole building, the whole structure, the entire world down. It's like a spoiled kid that wants to, you know, that wants to grab all the marbles.
Mm-hmm. And then on the surface, that confronts the British colonial mindset that this country has been under for at least 200 years, but all the while infiltrated by these Ashkenazi Khazarians.
And right, I just you know, on my website, I sent you the link, but I wrote a paper on, you know, a Christian's response to some of these attacks by these Khazars against yourself and myself. And I just, you know, it's funny how they really get angry and upset when the true history of who they are is brought to the forefront. The book, The 13th Tribe, was written by an Ashkenazi Jewish gentleman who was an honest researcher and documented it all. He says, we have no business basically being in Israel. We don't. That's not our homeland. So, you know, it's very difficult for a full-blooded Jew to be anti-Semitic when he tells the truth, but if a Gentile says that, we're in trouble.
Well, putting out the truth is not a reason to be attacked, okay? Unless you're putting out the truth that exposes the corruption, exposes the lies and the deception that's going on, because people have given away their power to these myths, and they're historical myths, and wow, we're experiencing the myths in real time too.
They're right.
They're desperate. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. I'm just saying that the fact that the people that are in charge of Israel and Jerusalem today originated from the Baltic states, primarily the Transylvanian / Romanian region. You see how much that, to me, that makes a huge, huge difference. In realizing that it's not a Judeo-Christian pact or prophecy, if you will, at all. It's a big lie and a big hoax.
Mm-hmm.
So the tribe of Judah, where did they really go to? See, that's the other point. The historical records of the tribe of Judah, you know, the physical descriptions of them are markedly different than the typical so-called Jew today. You see the tribe of Judah being basically auburn hair, fair skinned, you know, light complexion in all the historical texts.
Mm-hmm. And then we have these myths that Jesus, the Christ, was a Judean. And
right.
Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. No, not at all. I didn't want to cut you off. You're right on. The history shows he was from Galilee. He was a Nazarene from Galilee. Again, the Babylonian Jews, the rabbis, were very, very prejudiced against, again, the fair-skinned Galileans. So Jesus, by his, you know, his religion, was not so much Jewish as it was cosmopolitan. He actually traveled the entire planet under the direction of his uncle Joseph of Arimathea, the rich merchant uncle. And he, by the, you know, the some of the ancient texts that had now come forward, he was well schooled in all of the Eastern traditions as well as the Western American traditions. He did, in fact, visit America.
Yes. Now, Drew, you're breaking up a little bit. Just want to let you know. Are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm
okay.
I pulled off the road because I want to make sure we keep the signal going strong.
Okay, thank you. Just don't pull off into the ditch, okay?
Oh, no, I've been pulled off for the last 15 minutes or so. So,
well, if you look at the creation of Israel in 1948, and that came on the heels of the creation of the CIA in 1947, the UN in 42, January 1st, 1942, not October the 24th of 1945, as they taught us in school, there was a concerted effort by someone, and it all connects to the banks and the international corporations, the IG Farbens, the oil companies, the pharmaceutical companies. And I found evidence that way back in the 1800s, they were, the pharmaceutical companies were investing in banks. Banks would be places for them to launder the drug money from all the drug smuggling that was going on. Of course, back then, they didn't call it smuggling. But there were certainly laws against the people selling and acquiring some of the drugs, the derivatives of the poppy plants. That's been a focal point of many wars over several thousand years. So this is old hat, and it's as these truths are coming out that they get angry that everything, you know, the veil has been pulled back and the truth is coming out about what they're doing and who they are and how they do it, and we're realizing that the stories we've been told in his story or history are nothing but a sack full of lies. And when you look at Israel and all the war that's been there ever since they went into Palestine and took away those lands, they've made war with the Palestinians, the Lebanese, the Iraqis, the Syrians, the Egyptians. So they chose this land, really, I think, as a power base to counter the older history they had with Egypt. And they would tell us they were slaves there, but they went there willingly to Egypt to profit from being there.
Well, surely, Moses in the historical Egyptian text was a pharaoh, Thutmose. I mean, that's exactly who he was, and the obfuscation that's going on is just again, like you said, to have a power base of religion, and it's really to foment the next great crisis. Don, as Albert Pike wrote to Mazzini in 1871, the third great conflict, as it was revealed to them by their dark god, would be to incite the world's religions, the two primary religions of Islam and Christianity, to war to the point of utter and total destruction and despair and nothing left but
total despair and depression. That's the stage that's been set right now. The Islamic infiltrators are Mossad Israelis. That's very evident. That this is again more obfuscation by the the Mossad's motto is simply by means of deception thou shalt wage war. Mm-hmm. Well, that's how they work. That's how they operate. Okay.
Yes.
The King David Hotel, which was a British holding, was bombed by the Jewish terrorist group Irgun. This was in the 40s. You see the attack against the USS Liberty. Americans were attacked and killed by Israelis. Warplanes and that, and the repeated sorties against it. They knew full well what it was. It was not an accident.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, there's all kinds of facts that are just somehow, again, not talked about by the mainstream media, which is once again owned and controlled by these same bloodline groups.
Yeah, I'm continuously reminded of the 1972 Munich Olympics when the Israeli weightlifting team was invaded in the dormitories there, and they took hostages there. And, of course, the media described them as Palestinians, although they were all wearing masks. No one seemed to question who they were. How did they know they were Palestinian in their masks? You see, and I would suggest that they were Mossad agents, or even Sayeret Matkal, their elite.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that's what's happened, and I trust nobody in this whole camp. When you have the controller of the Pentagon in 2001, a man named Dov Zakheim, the main suspect in $2.3 trillion coming up missing, again, according to Donald Rumsfeld's press conference on September 10th, 2001. And then you have the events of September 11th, and all of this... These investigations are sabotaged, and the evidence is up in a bunch of thermite bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just beyond a joke that they're able to get away with this, because people don't have and want to know. They don't have the knowledge, and many just don't want to know.
Yeah, don't you find it rather ironic that? That we're supposed to be helping Israel, according to the government and according to most mainstream Christian, I don't want to call them leaders because I don't see them as leaders, but the mainstream TV evangelists. Oh, we have to help Israel. We have to support Israel. Don't you find it interesting and ironic that we have so many Ashkenazis in the cabinet or in the administration? And many of these are infiltrators. Many of them hold dual citizenship. Despite what we're told about the... And then you've got a guy that's not even an American sitting in the White House, you know.
Right.
You know, what is it going to take to wake people up to see this for what it is, you know? They want help. They want to be helped. They want to follow a leader, and I've been trying to encourage people to become their own leader, to recognize that they're responsible for what happens in their life on a daily basis. They've got to take care of business themselves and stop this holding out of the hands, you know, to get charity. That's how little self-respect that's left in the average being. And this is a problem around the world. It really is. People don't know what to do. And you know, in bringing out the truth, we're revealing many of these things. And people are convinced that we're right. So the attacks begin and the slander and the libel and the defamation of character, because they cannot attack the message. The proof has been brought forth. It's been demonstrated who they are and what they've done and what they plan to do. They never intended for anyone to know this, you see. So we become targets, but that goes with the territory. Are they going to target 7 billion people? Well, they plan on doing that too, whether our listeners want to accept that or not. We have every indication that that's what they plan on doing. And if they're going to leave 500 million people on the planet, as some have said, which is inscripted in the Georgia Guidestones, then who are those 500 million people going to be? Where are they going to come from? You know, people need to
bloodlines primarily.
Yeah, probably. So, yeah. You know, I want to encourage people to wake up and seek the truth, seek knowledge, and it'll empower you, and you'll begin to see these things, and all of us working together is what's going to overcome all of this. Being ignorant of it doesn't serve any purpose other than to say, well, I had a nice day. Nothing touched me. Nothing affected me. All the while complaining that you're bored, you have no money, you're sick, you're dying, your loved ones are dying, you're losing your home, you have no job, you don't know where your next meal is going to come from. We seem to forget all those things. And when this country was founded, as many other countries were founded, people survived. They survived on their own. And societies came out of a mutual cooperation to help one another, not to murder one another, not to go to another country and murder millions of people and contrive a reason for doing so or having done so and selling that to the people. Those days have to be over, Drew. I don't know how you feel about that. I know you see what's going on is wrong. It's wrong in God's eyes. It was not the purpose that this planet was created for. And it's not why mankind was given life. People got to, they have to start taking responsibility. Become their own leader. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, many of them are starting to do that. I'm encouraged, but not nearly enough, perhaps. The Tea Party movement, Don, it seems to have been hijacked by Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin, which is a joke. These two are nothing but provocateurs and control puppets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Ron Paul's very concerned about that.
Well, I found it interesting that Ron Paul's son, Rand, declared that he was a Zionist before the election. I guess this is protocol. You have to state what your stance is with Israel first. And this is nothing but a political organization of the darkest nature.
Yeah. You just can imagine 65,000 lobbyists is kind of a conservative figure of the people on the payroll of AIPAC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 65,000, that's an army.
Yes. Well, it's a medium-sized city in this country. And mm-hmm. and in some countries, it's a large city. You know, I find it rather humorous that their Messiah, their chosen one here in the United States, and I guess the qualifications for being a Messiah are that when you're not on vacation, you're playing golf. and when you're not playing golf, you're on vacation. That's the definition of a Messiah. run a country into the ground, destroy its infrastructure from top to bottom, steal from the people, steal trillions of dollars, contrive all kinds of ways to murder people, to steal their property, to drug them, to chip them, to poison them, and go play another round of golf when it's all done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's madness. It's total madness. People have fallen so much for images, for idolatry, idol worship.
So, American Idol.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they have that show in some other countries now too, you know.
Yep.
And again, it's you know, they're even shortchanging us on the quality of the idols that they present to us. You see, but people are brainwashed. They don't even see what's being done to them. They really don't.
Yeah, they're so fear-based. They don't want to focus on the problem. They'd rather just get some anesthesia in the form of an escape in a TV program or sporting event. And that's mm-hmm. the reality. That's the reality of what's going on right now.
Yeah. Well, so the event that you spoke at sounds to me like there were some people very interested in what you had to say and looking for answers, looking for solutions. When people organize, and I think you mentioned the tea parties. I kind of commented on this with Drew Raines today on his show. Before we had the tea parties, we had We the People. You remember that march on Washington, and then prior to that, there have been a number of marches. You had the Oath Keepers. That was another group. When I started looking at these groups, and I had people contacting me asking me, who are these people? We don't know anything about the leadership of this group. One of the groups, I think it was the Oath Keepers, in fact, had a Rhodes, a member of the Rhodes family in there. You know, that speaks volumes, because you could go all the way from England to South Africa and see the mark that Cecil Rhodes left. Oh, but the Rhodes, you know, Rhodes scholars. Look at the Rhodes scholar they produced in Bill Clinton. You know, I mean, just one lie after another. And we've been given that leadership, that same leadership that goes all the way back to World War II and all the corruption that occurred on Wall Street back then. They were all on the take back then. We've been piecing history together, showing that it's all a pack of lies. And I think that's a major reason why we fall under attack. And we know that that comes with the territory. But see, you have a lot of people waking up and finding the truth. So they're confronted with the same lies. You have any thoughts on that as far as, you know, telling people what, from your perspective, what one could do to understand what's going on and really see, you know, the illusions that they're presented with on a daily basis and how to overcome them?
The first step is to see who's really pulling the strings and why. Zionism, you know, whatever you want to call it, Israel firsters or whatever, is only kind of a symptom of the bigger problem, Don, and that's who controls our banking system and our bank cartels and our currency. That's the House of Rothschild, ladies and gentlemen. And make no mistake, nothing will ever happen positively in this country or the world until this cartel is broken apart. We gotta get our currency back. That's first on the agenda. And Ron Paul's right on with that. You gotta just disenfranchise the Fed, and you got to do it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And you know, people want to see some value in money. If you go back to the times when we didn't have a gold standard or a silver standard, and gold and silver markets are manipulated by the same people. In fact, the world's financial system is based primarily on a fiat system and usury credit. It's a debt-based system. You go into debt at the moment you ask for money. Why couldn't our leaders see this back in, say, from 1910 onward, when this country was being infiltrated by these banks?
Many did, Don. You got Lindbergh and others that were very much vocally opposed to it. But again, the skullduggery that went on back then, the midnight votes, the closed door sessions, Lindbergh was just absolutely frustrated, and so were his anti-central banking liaison. Of course, Lindbergh had a personal attack. He had his family members kidnapped and killed. He went through tremendous adversity as he came out and fought this, okay? It's no different today, not at all. And when you realize that the Jacob Rothschild, the descendant of Mayor Amschel Rothschild, is sitting basically controlling all of Israel, it's a Rothschild satellite, and you have, like I said before, Rothschild controlling that many incredible nuclear warheads, enough to take out every major city on this planet and then some. They have that much firepower. It's like the bully boy on the block. You do what I want and do what I tell you to, or you're going to die. That's the reality of this the stage that's set there.
Yeah, it seems rather insane because their intention is to murder everybody anyway.
Yeah.
All indications. Well, we're about out of time, Drew, and I certainly don't want to hold you up, but I appreciate you stopping and keeping the signal clear.
I was heading into a mountainous region. I probably started losing them. I'm sitting out here looking at the most beautiful star-filled sky. There's no lights around. I'm kind of watching some shooting stars. It's been fun. Been a pleasure, Don. Have a good evening.
Yeah, well, before you go, I just want to let you know that that those responsible for the attacks that we've undergone will be exposed at the appropriate time. And the truth will come out, okay? Know that. Trust in that.
Oh, I know that. We've got some private investigators doing some job, and there will probably, I'd say, better than a 90 percentile chance that we'll file some major lawsuits. I've got some people with deep pockets coming forward to fight these guys. They don't know who they've messed with, but they will.
Yes,
they made a huge mistake attacking us this way.
Well, I trust that you'll be safe and protected, and I want to commend you for your work. Thank you for the piece that you wrote that you sent me very recently as well. And that's making the rounds. People are reading it. So, again, it's much appreciated.
Very good. Thanks so much, Don. You be safe, too, and we'll be in touch. Good night.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, Drew. Have a good night.
Good night.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Truat. You can visit his website at atruat.com. That's the letter A, the word true, ott.com. And his show, the story behind the story, is heard Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect Network. That's the microeffect.com is all you need to put in an address bar and hit return, and it'll take you right there. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network. around the world. To Larissa, I want to say Slovo. And I also want to thank Don Newsom on the sound at bbsradio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night for another show, and we may have a surprise guest tomorrow. So in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.